Alrighty, good morning everyone. Good morning, Alex. Hey. Welcome in to a another morning live edition of the Patriots Beat podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. I am Mike Cadlick, as I mentioned, joined by Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub. We just spoke to head coach Bill Belichick after Thursday night's 24-10 loss to the Bills. He's not happy, and frankly, neither am I. And frankly, I'm not happy with him, Alex, and I asked him about it last night and sort of what's the problem with the offense, and we can get right into that. But personally, I just think, and I know, I guess it's, you know, we've mentioned it before, it's my first sort of season here on the beat, but I just think Bill Belichick needs to take more accountability for what the heck's going on. And I understand it's the middle of the season, and I understand you're not going to go in there, you know, at the beginning of December and make sweeping changes. But right now, they just have nothing going on offense. They put in just 10 points. Their most productive play is from a special teamer. It's just a disaster. And let's just start with the offense. They scored 10 points and had absolutely nothing going.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a game. I said this a couple times. That's a game, you know, they lost in April with a number of the moves they made, both in terms of the roster personnel and the coaching personnel. They didn't have the horses to compete last night. And the biggest thing, I mean, you have to look at the play calling. You have to, when the quarterback is on the sideline cussing out the decisions of the play caller, you right. can't really start anywhere else, especially right. given the way this look. Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels used to get in their spats, right? They would bark back and forth, but it was productive,
right?
It's not usually a productive way of solving things. You don't want to
well, it be was. It was productive, and it was also after they had each won a Super Bowl in the NFL. So let's start there.
Yeah.
They had had success in doing so, but continue.
But I'm saying, like, they would kind of go back and forth, and they'd figure it out. They're both fiery personalities. They'd figure it out. That's not what this was to me. This was a guy in Mac Jones who's at the end of his rope with what's going on, because it's been the same thing week after week after week with them. And and by the way, it's not just Mac Jones. I wrote about this on 98.5thesportshub.com. It's up right now. Kendrick Bourne with some very pointed comments. And I would be surprised if we see Kendrick Bourne again this year, given what he said. You really don't hear Patriots players talk like that. Nelson Agholor, there were some comments. Controlled, I guess, would be the term in what he said, but kind of along the same path, the same line of thinking, and I think he was incorrect in what he said. And I think I can't tell if I'm freezing in and out here. My internet's being a little weird. Well, I try to pull this up
a little bit, but we got you back now, I think.
Okay,
but yeah, you're pulling up quotes, so here, right? But yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So here's the quotes from Kendrick Bourne. We need to, well, so first off from Mac, we've all seen the clip, throw the effing ball, effing short game sucks. Like, that's what he said. And he clarified it after the game. He just felt they were chasing points in that game and they needed to be more aggressive at that point. We don't know exactly when in the game he said that, because they showed that clip after the game. My guess would be early in the second half. It's just a guess. Kendrick Bourne after the game. We need to scheme up better. We need to know what they're doing. We need to know what they, talking about the defense, want to do on third down. They call this, we call that, and it falls right into what they want. That's a game plan thing, right? That's a game more from Bourne here. They had, what, 30 first downs? We had 8. It's something they were doing against us was working, and something we were doing against them was not working, Bourne continued. We've got to get the ball downfield. Mac needs more time. He's obviously running around. It's hard to get the ball downfield when you can't really have time to throw. And then the Nelson Agholor quote.
And he clarified, I want to add to Bourne as well, because he sort of clarified and said no ill will towards the offensive line when talking about the time that Mac has. And, I mean, that was also him sort of just backing up his teammates. But it also seems like, again, it's more of a scheme thing when they're talking about giving Mac more time, not necessarily the detriment of the offensive line.
Yeah. And then finally from Nelson Agholor, he was asked about the way the Patriots are kind of putting together their pass concepts. That's not for me to worry about. I train my routes, work hard, and do what I'm asked to do. I'm not a coach. I'm just a receiver trying to play hard and make plays that come my way. And that, to me, sounded like something that Mac Jones actually said back in camp. When these issues first began, I remember there was a, it was like, I don't know, the fourth or fifth day of camp, and Mac was getting peppered with questions about this. And he basically said something similar, something along the lines of, it's the coach's job to call the plays, it's the player's job to execute them, which I kind of read, and I feel the same way about this Nelson Agholor comment, I kind of read as, what do you want me to do? I'm doing what they're telling me to do. Right. What more do you want me to do? Right? They can't go out there and run different plays. It doesn't work that way. So there's clearly frustration, and I get it, and you see it. You know, to go back to Mac's comments, right? Whether we don't know if he was saying short game or run game or whatever. It sounded like he was talking about the short game. He's right. Among other things with this offense, they've become one-dimensional at times this year. And Ramondre Stevenson's a fantastic player. He's having a great year. But he is their only option right now for explosive plays, it feels like, and teams are keying in on that. And he's not as effective as he was earlier in the year against teams like Detroit and Cleveland. And part of it is they're facing better defenses. Part of it is teams are daring the Patriots to go elsewhere with the football.
Right.
And their only counter right now seems to be one-off gadget plays. You know, yeah, they throw a touchdown to Marcus Jones last night. That's not sustainable offense.
No.
They've tried some of these end-arounds. The Patriots wide receivers and tight ends collectively are averaging 3 yards per carry this year. That's not enough.
No.
And then, and again, I broke this down deeper on 98.5thesportshow.com. This wasn't the case last year. They weren't perfect last year offensively. Of course not. But in year one of a rebuild with a rookie quarterback, it felt like they were in a good spot. You know, Mac showed he belonged in the NFL. You saw guys that they had just brought in, Nelson Agholor, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, maybe starting to grow into their roles. What's changed? What's changed? Well, let's go through it here, Mike, for a second.
Yep.
Yes, they lost their two starting guards. They did. But they replaced one with a guy who realistically is a starting caliber player in Mike Onwenu. Like, that's not a downgrade. And they invested a first-round pick to fill the other spot. And if you're going to invest a first-round pick in a player, the expectation is he's a day-one starter and a year-one starter.
Right.
They upgraded at receiver. They used their second pick on a wide receiver, adding speed, something they desperately needed. And they upgraded the X from N'Keal Harry to Devontae Parker. Significant upgrade. Yeah, there's been injuries this year. There were injuries last year. Nelson Agholor missed a significant amount of time last year. Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson both did. And David Andrews was the only player on the offensive line to start all 17 games. Everybody else missed multiple games. So what's changed? And that's the question Bill wouldn't answer last night, but what's changed is the coaching.
He can't do it. It's the coaching. He won't say it.
You'll say there's been other changes. Oh, they flipped the tackles. That's a coaching decision. They got rid of the fullback. That's a coaching decision.
Yeah.
Different, you know, offensive game plan, which, by the way, they're on like their third offensive scheme of the year. Third offensive scheme in like 5 months. Coaching decision. So you can understand why the players are frustrated. Like, people talk about, oh, they need a tank and they need a draft and they have so many needs. The roster's not like, they have talent on offense. I don't know that they're like the Bills, right, on the other side with all those players, but they have players on offense because we saw it last year. They were sixth in the league in scoring last year. They're 22nd right now, and they didn't really lose anybody.
Right.
Unless you think Ted Karras and Shaq Mason combined are a touchdown a game, or worth a touchdown a game, they didn't lose anybody. So right. You have to look at the coaching.
I mean, you take injury out of it for a second, right? My point is that you make the changes on the offensive line. You get rid of Shaq and you bring in Cole Strange. But you mentioned it yourself. You move Onwenu in. The offense gets better. You have Mac Jones in the second year, which is, you know, typically usually that sort of leap year where quarterbacks start to get it even further. And then they hand him this on the offensive coaching staff. I mean, I tweeted it last night and I wrote about it on CLNS, but I mean, I talked about malpractice from the coaching staff as far as the whole Bailey Zappi saga and the way they treated Mac Jones. They've treated Mac Jones. They've given that guy nothing this season. And, you know, There's the Malcolm Butler thing and there's the Brady thing, but I truly believe that this is the worst coaching decision Belichick has ever made, is not giving Mac Jones what he needs in his second year. Because you talk about the Brady thing, this was his chance to, you know, redeem himself after that. And really, you go and you get a guy in the draft and he looks so great in the first year and you lose Josh McDaniels. Go get somebody else. Don't just bring in your friend that, you know, you want to give a job because you drink beers with him on the freaking sideline after the game. Like, it's nonsense. It really is. And it's too bad for a guy like Mac Jones, who, has he been great? No, he has not been perfect, but he hasn't even been given the chance to try to, you know, succeed. There's nothing there. You go back to Ramondre. He played 53 of 54 offensive snaps last night. This is where you bring injury into it. They're using him and they're just saying, try and make something happen. But they're running the ball to him on second and one with 40 seconds left, calling timeouts. It's scheme, it's coaching. Going back to scheme too, I'm kind of pouring out all my thoughts here at once, but
yeah.
I mean, more on Bourne, he said, no Von Miller, we got to take advantage of that. No Micah Hyde, they're more soft in what they're doing. They're more conservative. We got to take advantage of not just having five-yard throws. They don't even scheme it up to try to get first downs, Alex. I was talking with Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders when we were watching the game. Both third down attempts at one point in the second quarter, Mac's throwing to guys that aren't even past the sticks. It's like they're not even trying to move the football. They're just, I don't know if it's trying not to lose. I don't know if it's trying to win the time of possession battle, which they brutally failed that last night. It was something like 40-20. It's just, there's nothing there.
BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. Always your continued source for sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, and I mean, to your last point, you know, not throwing past the sticks, I don't even know if that's a Mac thing, because there's not really guys running past the sticks. It feels
right. That's what I'm saying. It's a scheme thing. It's more of a scheme.
And it again, it's really interesting. It's tough to tell what coaching points he's getting, because remember, at the beginning of the season, it was gunslinger, right?
Right.
Bomb, and that's not – last year, Mac was controlled. I don't think he was as conservative as some people think. The term I would use is more controlled than conservative, right?
Yeah.
Comes out of the gate this year, he's neither. I mean, he's whipping the ball down the field. The deepest depth of target in the league through the first 3 weeks before he got hurt. And he's throwing a ton of interceptions, but that kind of seemed to be the plan, was we're going to take all these super aggressive shots, and if they're turnovers, so be it, but this is the offense we're going to run. It was like, all right, that's interesting. You know, maybe once he gets used to running this more in a game, they'll kind of be explosive, but then he gets hurt, comes back. And now there's no throwing the ball really past the line of scrimmage.
Right.
I mean, the 5-6 yard slant is their deep shot at this point. And yeah, he hasn't turned the ball over in a couple weeks, which is great. But you're telling me that that feels like a coaching thing to me. It felt like the coaching point was push the ball, and it came back from injury, and the coaching point became protect the ball at all costs, right? I think on some of these third and longs, they're just worried, like you said, about not turning the ball over. And I'm sorry, there needs to be a happy medium there. You don't want to turn the ball over. That's the worst thing a quarterback can do. But if you just eat it every play, well, then you can't move the ball. Like there's some risk in it. That's just the way it works.
Right.
Right. So, and I don't know if that's a Matt Patricia thing, a Joe Judge thing, a Bill Belichick thing, whatever, but it looks like Mac has gotten mixed messages this year at times. For a second year quarterback, right? If it's Tom Brady, who's been in the league for 20 something years, he can sort through all the BS and figure it out, and he knows what to do. That's not necessarily the case with a second-year quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like he's getting mixed messages right now, which, by the way, there's that term mixed messages again that we talked about a lot late last season when it came to the defense, and we didn't really know what was going on with the coaching staff. So it's, you know, that's one thing you talk about, the sequence at the end of the half as well. just bad situational football. And it's another thing that they've kind of just hunted this year, where it's not only in the 2-minute drills, but it's been happening a lot in the 2-minute drills. They get that second and one, and that's a shot play.
Yep.
Because you have third down. That is a push the ball down the field play. But they get to second and one, and they get so fixated on getting that yard that they cost themselves. Last week, remember, they had that weird quarterback sneak.
And then they did it again this week on third down. Yeah.
On second and one, and they didn't pick it up. And then they ran the ball right into the line on third down. They didn't get it. This one's a little different, but you get to the second and one, you run it, which, like, I guess fine, get the first down and keep moving. I don't love that strategy, but
I don't either.
But you need to know what you're doing next.
Right.
They ran that play with 50 seconds on the clock in two timeouts. 50 seconds on the clock in two timeouts. 14 seconds passed before they call a timeout. They didn't know what to do when they didn't pick it up. Because, again, they're so fixated on, we're going to get the first down here. They call a timeout. Then they have to run the sneak. Then they have to call another timeout. So now I have the numbers in my column. I'm trying to pull them up here. I believe it's on those two plays, you've burned 18 seconds, two timeouts, your final two timeouts, and you've only picked up 2 yards with now under half a minute to go. And at that point, you're severely limited. They're throwing it short to the boundary. Just pick up a couple yards. Nick Folk misses a 48-yard field goal. They should have had a touchdown there. They had a short field off the strip sack, which we can talk about later, but Josh Uche had a great game last night.
Yeah, he did.
But that's another one where it's just like,
that's when you need an offensive mind. It's an inexcusable sequence, and it's an avoidable situation.
That is the kind of thing Nathaniel Hackett will do that on Sunday, and we'll sit here and laugh about it. And Nathaniel Hackett's a first-year coach. Like, yeah, you kind of expect that. For Bill, who's obviously been around as long as he has and preaches situational football, and for Matt Patricia, who I know he's new to the offensive side of the ball, but has been a head coach, has dealt with situational football, has been in this league for a long time, that's a rookie mistake. And not from a player point of view, from a coaching point of view. That was a rookie mistake, and it cost them 4, if not 7 points. You know, probably should have cost them 4, cost them 7 points. It's a bad, you know, that it's just another one where you look at it, you think, what exactly is the operation here that's leading
to
this?
Because what is the goal, too?
It's, you know, well, you have to ask yourself the question, is that what they were trying to do? Because it's concerning if obviously it's concerning if that's just kind of the situation they ended up in. But it's almost more concerning if they did it on purpose, and they've done it enough times now that you have to consider that.
Right.
So that was not a great sequence, obviously.
It's a disaster, man. And then the other thing, too, that, you know, I'm looking at the box score and just sort of jogging my memory as to, you know, what the heck really went down last night. And you're looking, I mean, great. It's fun and it's good stuff that they're getting Marcus Jones the ball in space. It's a good problem to have, right? You have a solid player who's a true triple threat, right? And you saw the return touchdown against the Jets. You see him, you know, he started on defense. And then they got him the ball and he scores a touchdown. But when Marcus Jones is your leading receiver, that's an indictment on where you're at as an offense. And, you know, why is that not a play you run to Tyquan Thornton, your second round pick, who's also a speed guy, right? Like, get him the ball in space. Save Marcus Jones for defense. Save him for being a return specialist. And I get it gave you a spark, and I get, you know, it works. But, like, why is Tyquan Thornton not getting the ball in that spot? It's just, it's all over the place. And you talk about situational football, you have three guys in Judge, Patricia, and Belichick who have seldom called an offense in their careers. I mean, Belichick's been around, and he's been involved in it, and he's sort of the main point, or the, you know, the head of the situational football mentality. But, like, if you have a guy like, and I know it's just, I'm talking to a wall here and not talking about you, but I'm talking about, you know, trying to bring in Bill O'Brien this offseason and trying to bring in an offensive mind. But, like, heck, even if you have Nick Caley calling the offense, at least that's a guy who might understand situational football from an offensive perspective more than a Matt Patricia. So it's all over the place.
Yeah. There's other sequences too in that game you go back to, but it It's not enough. And I don't think the Bills, shocker, I'm saying this, I don't think the Bills played that great last night.
They didn't.
Right? That's the kind of game where back in like 2016, it, you know, when the Patriots won games like that, that's the game where they're going on the radio and saying, is this really a Super Bowl team? Like, you had to pull away late against, you know, the last place team in the division. So, and look, they were banged up. They were banged up, but of their first five drives, they only had first downs on one of them. And they had three on that drive. It ended with DeMarcus Jones touchdown. But yeah, like you're saying, right? DeMarcus Jones wrinkle's cool. I like it. I'm glad they did it. It's something I hoped they would do when they drafted him. But it's but then did you see what happened after that hit? They went back to it twice.
Yeah.
Once they threw him the ball really without a second look, and he picked up like 3 yards. And then the third time they tried to do it, the Bills just took it away.
Yep.
Because it's become predictable at this point. You know, I don't know it's, how many more times I can watch. And this is when I said earlier, I think Mac was talking about the short game or the quick game, right? How many more times are we going to watch them pump fake screen to the left, turn around screen to the right to Ramondre? How many more times? And it's a fine play. It's a nice play in its own right. But when you run it 20 times in a game, at this point, the misdirection would be throwing the first screen. They don't even even do that to make the defense think twice. You see Mac pump left, the entire defense looks right because they know what's coming.
Right.
So it's just, again,
I mean, with Marcus Jones in that effect too, it's like, okay, first play, Marcus Jones' career in the NFL on offense. The defense scrambles. Who's this 25 guy? We haven't seen him. We didn't see him on tape. Bang, get on the ball, touchdown. Every other time after that, they're going to see him be like, okay, focus on him. And
this guy knows what he's doing.
For some reason, Patricia and they're like, oh, no, yeah, this is going to work again. Just get him the rock and he's going to make it happen in space. Like, no, the defense is going to adjust.
Right. And again, those one-off plays, I mean, they've always been a big part of what the Patriots do offensively. Some of the most famous plays in Patriots history. Obviously, Edelman throwing to Danny Amendola, the direct snaps to Kevin Faulk and James White on the two-point conversions down on the goal line. Like, those little niche plays, Brady to Moss to Brady to Gaffney against the Steelers. Like, there's a room for those in the offense.
We could do an hour podcast on those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're spark plug plays. Like, when you need a spark, it's a good play. I don't hate having that concept in your back pocket. Those concepts in your back pocket, there's certainly value in them. Those are some of my favorite plays in football. I don't want to like denounce them, but the problem is you can't build an offense out of those.
Right.
The idea is you run those every once in a while to keep the defense on their toes to allow you more room to operate within your offensive system. Those plays on their own are not sustainable.
Right.
And right now, that's unless they're giving the ball to Ramondre Stevenson, that's really the only offense they have is these gadget plays. And all right, it's good for one a game. So let's say, and this is probably some people probably call this being generous, you get one gadget play touchdown a game, and maybe Ramondre can get you one touchdown a game. You're at 14 points.
Right.
Where's the rest of it coming from? Like, all right, you've shown like it, they do that. It feels like they've shown their entire hand. You know, you get to, and that's the thing, they ran that play so early in the game. There's a reason why they did that, because they knew they were going to need it.
Yep.
It's the end of the first quarter. They've shown what they have to show at that point.
And right. Let's try and play ahead as soon as possible. And
it's over. And it goes back to what we talked about off the top. You can see the players are frustrated with it. You can see the offensive players are frustrated with how, you can call it one-dimensional, you can call it predictable, whatever you want to call it. They're frustrated with the offensive philosophy right now.
Yeah. Speaking of the offensive coaching, and there's going to have to be a reshuffle this offseason, you would think, because you'd pray on it, because it's all over the place. And whether they move Patricia upstairs or whether they move him back to the defensive side of the ball, whether they put Joe Judge back on special teams, whatever they do with these guys, there's going to be an opening, you would think, at offensive coaching staff. And I pray to God that the Patriots use LinkedIn.com/beat to post that offensive coordinator job. Because these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. We use LinkedIn Jobs here at CLNS Media, and we can't recommend it enough. It's super easy to post your job, then add your listing in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. As we inch closer to December, we are now in December, Alex, actually.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect time, right? Add a new team member and end the year strong. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/beat. That's linkedin.com/beat to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Again, let's hope that the Patriots post that offense coordinator using linkedin.com/beat. There was a rumor this week, sort of wrapping up the offense, and I know we'll do this more so in the offseason because we're trying to break down this game, but Bill O'Brien's looking to maybe come back to the NFL. Does he come back here? Do you want him here? Is it? I mean, again, the idea, I think, and I'll let you answer in a second, the idea or the thought process was that, at least rumors, that he didn't want to take a short-term job because he ended up wanting to be a head coach somewhere else. And the Patriots didn't want to bring him in short-term because they thought that he could leave. But, I mean, they need it.
Yeah, and I mean, he's somebody who's familiar with what Mac Jones does well and bringing some of those Alabama concepts. And Mac Jones taught him the Alabama playbook when he was hired at Alabama. Never coached him directly, but they overlapped. After Mac Jones' senior year, when he was brought in to replace Steve Sarkisian, Mac, as he was preparing for the draft, helped out Bill O'Brien. Yeah, I mean, I'd be all for it. I kind of said a few times on the show and on other shows, I didn't think it was realistic. I thought that he was due for a college head coaching job, but
right.
I guess, you know, teams, you kind of, Alabama's not going to make the playoff. And anytime that happens, people take a close look. And I don't think, you know, necessarily colleges maybe were as thrilled with the Alabama performance this year as what it should have been. I think it would be hard to argue they didn't underachieve. But, you know, you're seeing these blue blood programs, the jobs are coming off the board, whether it be Nebraska, whether it be Wisconsin, whether it be Auburn.
Yep.
There's not many Power Five jobs left, if any. And I mean, we'll see what happens at Texas A&M, but he probably needs another reset. And
right. It's funny how that works, like you said, at Bama, because, you know, you have Bryce Young, who's probably going to be the number one pick in the draft, and you have Alabama, who's, they lose two games, and they're, I don't know how many points they score, but, I mean, the fact that that's just like, oh, we need a reset, it's crazy. That
they're talking about that team standard. They're talking about that team the same way we're talking about the Patriots this week.
Exactly.
but, yeah, I'd love to see him back. I don't know that he's the only option. Like, I wouldn't say... We don't have the full picture of who's available yet, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say, if they don't get Bill O'Brien, it's a failure. There might be other people who are definitely qualified. I've talked about this with Josh McDaniels. A lot of people were kind of framing the McDaniels thing when it looked like he might get fired as it's either McDaniels or another year of Matt Patricia. It's not. You know, they can go in any different number of directions. Bill O'Brien will be high on my list. Again, we don't know who's fully available, so...
Right.
I reserve the right to change my mind, basically, is what I'm kind of giving myself the room here to say. But
sure.
Yes, in terms of realistic candidates to be the offensive coordinator, and I think Bill O'Brien is starting to move more towards that realistic candidate kind of column, he would be high on my list.
Yeah, agreed. I think that, again, there's a lot of people who'd be high on my list just outside of Matt Patricia. I mean, it's unfathomable the way that this whole thing broke.
Look, they tried something and it didn't work. Right. They tried it, and I wouldn't have tried it. I would not have tried it. And by the way, it goes deeper than Matt Patricia. Josh left last year, Mike, you listened to the show at the time. You might remember me saying this. And it was clear they weren't getting Bill O'Brien.
Right.
My whole thing was, at this point, I don't care if it's Matt Patricia, if it's Joe Judge, whoever calling the plays, because it's all going to look about the same. Josh McDaniels took a guy named Bo Hardigree with him to the Raiders as the quarterback's coach. McDaniels was technically the quarterback's coach last year, and Hardigree was the assistant, but Mac had that dedicated coach, a guy who had coached quarterbacks before, had been around it, who was with him basically the whole time, like whenever he was in the building, when Josh McDaniels was doing other offensive coordinator stuff, Bo Hardigree was there, and Mac spoke highly of Bo. That, to me, not replacing him truly, and Joe Judge replaced him, but Joe Judge isn't the quarterback's coach.
Right.
We talked about guys like Zach Robinson, you know, other former quarterbacks who are now in coaching. This was when Dan Orlovsky's name started getting floated, right?
Yep.
That, to me, was as bad as not truly replacing Josh McDaniels or replacing with Matt Patricia, was not getting your second-year quarterback a dedicated quarterback's coach. The fact that Matt Patricia was the offensive coordinator honestly makes that decision look even worse. So they can hire Bill O'Brien. That's absolutely a step in the right direction. I would applaud that hire.
Right.
But Joe Judge can't be back coaching quarterbacks under Bill O'Brien, right? You need a real quarterback's coach too. Or if Bill O'Brien's the quarterback's coach and assistant quarterback's coach, well, Bill O'Brien's doing offensive coordinator stuff. Like that, it's not just, and I don't mean to say this to like excuse Matt Patricia or anything like that, but it's, you can't just one in, one out, Bill O'Brien, Matt Patricia, and everything's fixed. It's
of
not,
course.
There's more there. That's a big, it's a big step. It's the biggest step, but it can't be the only step.
Well, that's, and we'll get into the defense here in a second, kind of put a bow on this disaster of a game.
Well, I want to talk about the, I want to make one more point on the offense.
Yeah,
if you
want
to talk about the coaching first and then one point.
Yeah, just the, my last point of the coaching has been, you know, I keep using the term malpractice, right? And it's a broken record, but it's not. I've given Patricia a lot of crap, and deservedly so. But just like you mentioned there, it's not, when I try and preface it, I say coaching from the top down. It's not just a, like you said, it's not just a Matt Patricia thing. But Mac has nobody in that building to turn to with experience on offensive football. The biggest one is Belichick, and he's known as a defensive guy.
Right.
He's known as a head coach, a CEO, someone who is, you know, schematically a defensive coach. And so there's nothing there. And like you mentioned, you had Hardigree, you had Mick Lombardi here last year, who was another guy who's a smart, someone with a brain in their skull that's been around offense for a long time. And Mac has no one like that to turn to.
I mean, it's so Brian Hoyer, really.
It's Brian Hoyer. Right. And it's, and Brian Hoyer, talk about a brain in your skull. Brian Hoyer's concussed. So like,
All right.
I don't know if he still is, but I mean, it's there's no one there, and it's too bad. They've given Mac nothing. Yeah, go ahead.
Last and then so the one other point I'd make, and this all ties into it, about not, I won't even phrase it as giving Mac nothing, because then the Mac apologists come out and tell me I'm just defending him. Shortchanging the offense, regardless of who the quarterback is. No quarterback is going to succeed behind this offensive line right now.
Right,
they're not. And some of that is, you know, again, I still don't understand why they switched Isaiah Wynn and Trent Brown. I don't. It hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. But back in the summer, when we're all yelling about, you know, Mac this and the weapons that, and I was sitting here on our quaint little show, which is supposed to be detail-oriented, and I did this on other shows too, said we need to talk about the offensive line depth, which might be the least sexy topic in football, especially in the summer. You say offensive line depth, people roll their eyes. No, we need to talk about Mac. No, we need to talk about the weapons. No, we need to talk about Matt Patricia. Well, they don't have enough. They didn't then, and they certainly don't now. And this is a team, by the way, you know, you had Connor McDermott, who you signed off the Jets practice squad starting at right tackle. They're an injury away from potentially having to start James Ferentz at tackle, a position, you know, he didn't play in college.
That was crazy.
Maybe he played it in high school. This is a team that traded a pretty good, you know, depth tackle 2 weeks into the season in Justin Herron.
Right.
Let's not forget that. Like they, and I know he's hurt now, but Herron is, but.
Well, that's a butterfly effect thing. He got hurt
in
Las Vegas.
Exactly.
So that,
that's right. I mean, he's a guy they could really use right now. Justin Herron's not a Pro Bowler, but in terms of a third tackle, a swing tackle who can come in and give you a game, you know, a serviceable game if you need it. Yeah, absolutely. I think Justin Herron fits that bill. I think he's probably like a step above Yanni Kajust, and, you know, just because Kajust hasn't played in 2 years and he's raw. And they really just going back to the spring mismanaged their assets on the offensive line, from the Ted Karras negotiations to trading Shaq Mason. They never had enough. And we were talking about trading Isaiah Wynn at one point. Right. Remember, like, that was a serious conversation. Yeah. They just – Bill Belichick always talks about depth at the, on the offensive line. It's something he harps. They traditionally keep – you know, most teams keep 8 or 9 offensive linemen. The Patriots will be 9, 10, maybe even at times 11. And they just didn't this year. They and you know, it's one thing with the practice squad elevation rules, but they didn't really have anybody on the practice squad either. And I know they've had a pretty big run of injuries here, but again, Yanni Kajust hadn't played in 2 years. Trent Brown's been pretty much in and out of the lineup his whole career. Isaiah Wynn's been in and out of the lineup his whole career. Marcus Cannon came in off the street. He's 35. What'd you think? Like, are we sitting here shocked that all these guys are banged up? Right. So it's going to go under the radar because, again, offensive line depth isn't the sexy topic. It doesn't get right. clicks. It doesn't get views. But this is why I always want to talk about it, because it all, if you don't have enough offensive line depth, it always, always, always comes back to bite you. You'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. And right now the Patriots need it and they don't have it.
Well, that's, I mean, talking about Isaiah Wynn being traded and that being a serious topic, and that being the one guy who you had mentioned, hey, maybe they should get rid of this guy just from a locker room morale, motivational standpoint. Right now, we're like clamoring for Isaiah Wynn to get back from injury so that he can, you know, bolster up this offensive line. That's how bad it's gotten. And the, you know, a guy like Justin Herron, who, he's better than Connor McDermott. He's better than putting James Ferentz at left tackle. So, like, again, you talk about the idea of trading Wynn, and he's a detriment to the line, and now all of a sudden it's like, please come back from your toe injury so that you can give Mac an extra 0.2 seconds to maybe make something happen. It's another point that mismanagement from the top down.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk defense. Bills score 24. I know that we talked about it. I was in Josh Allen's press conference after the game, and he had said that, you know, he didn't think that the offense was great and that they still have improvements to make. But Josh Allen was solid. They still really have no answers for him. Threw for 2 touchdowns, 200 yards plus. And although Diggs went for like 90 plus, but that, you know, run it and gun it and track meet offense the Bills run, that wasn't really their recipe last night, but they still were able to do whatever they wanted on the Patriots defense. I mean, we can talk about Josh Uche and the good, but I find it kind of ridiculous is the best way to put it, to be cheering for this Patriots offense because they made the Bills punt 3 times. Like, they still scored 24 yeah. points on you. They still won the time of possession battle mightily. And again, they have no answers for this Bills offense. They're able to do whatever they want to the defense.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I think the defense, given the circumstances, looked okay. Like, they settled down late in that game. They didn't play well early. You're not going to just regularly 3 and out this Bills offense. You're not going to do it. Like, we need to be realistic, right? So the game plan, to a certain extent, they ran what the book is on the Bills, which is hold on, don't give up the big play, hold on in between the 20s, and then when they get in the red zone, force Josh Allen to throw the ball because he hasn't thrown the ball well in the red zone this year.
Sure.
Well, he threw the ball well in the red zone last night. And right. you had, like to me, I think the overall big picture of the Patriots offense was fine. I'm not going to say they were great. They were fine. You know, that Patriots defense, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
No, that defensive effort should keep you in most games. Like, that level of defensive play should keep you in most games. It was like individual moments that cost them, right? Quitting before the whistle on the play that Josh Allen runs the sideline, throws the ball back in. Like, that's not a game plan thing. That's not a talent thing. That's just a what the hell are you doing thing. You know, the touchdown where he has Stephon Diggs wide open, one-on-one on John Jones. Stephon Diggs is just filthy. Like, what are you going to – right? They're going to get theirs at a certain point.
Right.
What I would say is what you saw last night was the Bills got theirs. And not much more, basically. You know, again, there was the quitting on the play where Allen ran to the boundary. There was a bad PI from Jack Jones that on a 3rd and 9 that ultimately 5 plays later, Bill scored a touchdown. And Kyle Duggar dropped an interception, which remember me screaming about that earlier this week, right? If he throws one in the numbers, you got to catch it. It was the same freaking spot on the field that J.C. Jackson dropped his last year, just to twist the knife, right? But, you know, as crazy as it sounds, like those three plays, so you had, you know, quitting on a play leads to a touchdown. Call it 4 points because they were in field goal range. The PI, they weren't in field goal range, so call that 7. So now we're at 11 points, right? Picks, Duggar picks that ball off. It's a pick 6. Those three plays are maybe an 18-point swing. So, again, not a perfect performance from the defense by any means. There's room to be better, and they made some mistakes, and they weren't great. But that, especially from where you were last year, 47 points, 7 drives, 7 touchdowns. You know, they weren't great. They need to be better, but that kind of defensive effort should be enough to at least keep it a close game. Right.
I guess
holding that offense to 24 points. I feel fine. But here's the thing.
But I mean, the third down, like, I mean, I'm looking just now, like third down efficiency, you got 9 of 15. Right. And then the drives where you did stop them, you actually didn't because of some of those boneheaded mistakes.
So that's more my, like if we're going to knock them, it's the red zone. The Bills have been bad in the red zone this year. They went 3 for 3 in that game. If they turn right, let's say they even swing one of those, okay, into a field goal. Now it's 20-10 late in the game. Nick and we're what ifing here, but like Nick Folk hits that field, like it. Even if you turn one of those into a field goal, it kind of changes the tone of the game, especially that one. I mean, when Allen makes that play where everybody just kind of gives up, Mac Wilson gives up. Yeah. It just gives them so much energy, right? It's moments. It's again, I think the defense, we walked away from the game last year. Here's basically what I'm saying. We walked away from the game last year essentially saying, wow, their defense is light years away from where we thought they were, right? 40, and that was probably short-sighted at the time. They were dealing with so many injuries and COVID and all of that. We might have been a little premature on that one. You don't walk away from that game thinking, oh, their defense, like they can't compete. No, they can compete. They could be better. But again, I'll say it again. Holding that offense to 24 points is a competitive effort. It's not the best effort. They could do better, but it's a competitive effort. And a competitive effort against one of the best offenses in the league is as much as you can ask for. Because if you also got a competitive effort from your offense, you're right there in that game. You keep it close, late, at home, short week, like, who knows what's going to happen? So that defensive effort should be enough. They can be better, but
they have to be better. They do.
But if the Patriots want to be like a playoff team, right? If they want to be taken seriously, as a playoff team, they need to be able to win games with that kind of defensive effort. And that falls on the offense.
That's when it comes down to the offense. And
right.
So
that's more where I'm at. Like, I think you can nitpick the defense, but you can't talk about the offense. You can't talk about the defense. You can nitpick the defense, certainly. But I don't think you can put the defense in the same category you put the offense in last night. I don't think they're close.
Well, no, that's not where I was going with it either, as far as, I mean, you talk about the root cause of the loss last night, and it's got to be the offense. But the defense also, they have nothing to, it seems like they almost have nothing to play for, because when they finally do get off the field, we talk about time of possession, and that does have to do with defense as much as it has to do with offense, because you're in these third down situations and you can't get yourselves off the field to put the ball back in the offense's hands. You're also letting a rookie running back and James Cook sort of run all over you. It wasn't consistent. Like you talk about, they were plays, like they were singular instances, not so much. I mean, James Cook ran for 64 yards on 14 carries, but like, he had like a run of 28 yards. So it's chunk plays as much as it is consistency from that standpoint. But
yeah,
time of possession wise, right? I mean, that's going to fall on the offense too, because once you do get it in their hands, you finally get a stop, which it was their first stop. The punt was the first Bills punt against the Patriots in 360 days. So yeah. Like they did have their number. They played a little bit better last night, but I mean, 24 points, like, I get it. It should be enough. But when the offense is this bad, it all comes back to the offense. So I'm not comparing it to the offense. I still just think the defense could be better, because John Jones got dusted in this game. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You talk about John Jones last year in the playoff game. He wasn't there, so it's like, you know, there's, I don't want to call it excuse making, but there's things there. He got smoked last night, and I know it's Stephon Diggs, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, he didn't have a good game. I'll just add a little context to this, right? So the Bills have now played 12 games. They've only scored 324 points three times. That was against Miami in Miami, against Baltimore in Baltimore, and against the Jets in New York. And the Jets obviously have one of the best defenses in the league. They allowed 17 points. So that was, all things considered, one of the best defensive efforts against the Bills this year. Just to put in that con, like 24 points sounds like a lot against, and here's the thing. You know this is serious because I'm sitting here talking up the Bills. Right.
Taking it away from the defense for a second, it just shows that this team is so far away from competing at the top of the AFC. Because
I see, I don't think it does. Because, all right, who are some of the other teams?
They have nothing offense. They can't, but you hold them to 24. You hold them to the, you know, you're touting it as the greatest defensive effort against the Bills this season.
Score
10 so points and you can't even compete. It's like, there's nothing there.
So I get, no. So here's it. So I hear that when I hear that, oh, they're so far away, right? When I hear people say that, maybe this is a semantics thing. When I hear people say, oh, they're so far away, I hear that as basically people saying rebuild, like start over. It's not it. They're far away from competing in the AFC. Let's see where how some of the other AFC contenders did against the Bills. Tennessee allowed 41 points. The Chiefs allowed 24, same as you. The Jets, we mentioned 17, are very good. And those are really the only contender. I don't know. Are we calling the Browns a contender? No. They're still sort of in
there. We're closer to the Browns than we are the Bills.
All right, Browns allowed 31. They really haven't played. I mean, I guess we can go NFC contenders. The Vikings allowed 30. The Rams aren't really a contender. They're a defending Super Bowl champion. They allowed 31. So, like, defensively, I think they do have enough to compete with Buffalo. Like, to compete. Not necessarily be leaps and bounds better, but,
right.
Again, if you get an average, NFL average, not this offense average,
yep.
NFL average offensive performance, and you hold that team to 24 points, it's going to be a ball game. At that point, it comes down to late, right? That's more my point.
Okay.
And yes, there's room for the defense to be better, and you don't want the defense should be better than the level, right? The median, the mean, whatever the hell it's called, should be better than how they played last night.
Sure.
But 24 points against the Bills on an off game, yeah, I feel good about the defense. I do. It's not the defense. The defense is not why they can't compete in the AFC right now. Their defense is
right. No, I agree with that. Okay. I was going back to the umbrella. The Patriots as a whole can't compete in the AFC.
But this is what's so frustrating. Normally, right. when you say that about a team, it's like, all right, so the pieces just aren't there, right? It's a, you don't often see a team that is they're on one side of the ball and so not there on the other side of the ball. Like, that's just not common.
Right.
And that's what stands out.
One thing I do want to mention defensively is that, you know, last year we talked about it on the show, just the decline of Matthew Judon last season. And now people start to look at his numbers again and think, oh no, it's happening again. But yeah, I just watched him last night. Not so much stats-wise, but scheme-wise. And his lack of production, especially last night, if you want to call it that, like, he had one QB hit and he didn't have, you know, two straight games without sacks. But he's not pinning his ears back and rushing the quarterback against an offense like this. He's just containing Josh Allen in the pocket. So, like, I'm giving him and the defense credit here. Like, the fact that Matthew Judon's not getting after Josh Allen and taking him to the ground is not an indictment on Matthew Judon. That's the scheme they're running, and they contained Josh Allen relatively well last night, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, and they allowed Josh Uche to get after him. If you want to give Uche some props, because I know you had mentioned that.
No, he played very well last night.
Yeah.
He might have been their best player last night, like all around.
Right. I just, my point there was that, you know, I don't see a decline in Matthew Judon yet. I think he's just doing his job in the scheme.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this after the Minnesota game. They're dropping him into coverage. Like, right. It goes back to what we said about the offense. At the end of the day, you got to run what the coaches tell you to run.
Right.
Like, that's just how it works. So you can only do within that, you know, you're not going to get sacks dropping in shallow zone unless the quarterback really, really, really screws up. Right. It's not going to happen. So, yeah. But you know, you bring up you bring up that with Judon. I'll say it again. It's Ramondre Stevenson's the guy this year that they're just running into the ground.
Yeah, it's Barth. It's a disaster, and I don't know where to go from here because now you have two winnable games coming up in Arizona and Vegas. They have a mini bye as well to maybe try and rally the troops again. But like I said, big picture, they don't have what it takes in this conference. I'm sorry. I mean, again, I get the defense played. They played okay, and they held. Josh Allen, like we said, Josh Allen said it himself. They didn't play their best game of football.
Right.
But the fact that they didn't play their best game of football and they still scored 24 points, won the time of possession battle, scored touchdowns the way they did. I don't know, man. I don't like where we're at anywhere. I mean, the defense has been solid. The offense is just, it's a train wreck. I think we talked about it on the show as well. I felt that the Patriots before this game were a team that could on any given Sunday beat anyone and on any given Sunday lose to anyone.
Yeah.
I now don't think that they can beat Buffalo. I don't think they can beat Kansas City. So, like, I don't see it offensively. I know we're going back to the offense here because that's the root cause, but they don't have it. They just don't have it this year. And I know you say rebuild. I don't think it's rebuild. I think it's figure it out on offense.
Yeah, I
it sounds simple, I don't have much more. It's just it's a problem.
I don't know what the hell happened last week against Minnesota. Maybe, you know, they play a team from the NFC who they only play once every 4 years, who really hasn't seen them. They get them on a short week and it all looks kind of new. Maybe that's it, but that game was I kind of said after that game, now we have to wait and see if this game's an anomaly or if they really flipped a switch or something. And no, that game was the anomaly. You go, you know,
right now, Friday morning last week, we were on here being like, the offense turned a page. Mac Jones looks solid. They're throwing the ball downfield. Maybe they have a rhythm. And a week later, it's gone.
And we just did the Bills against contenders offensively. Let's do the Patriots. 7 against Miami. 7 against Miami. 22 against the Jets, but that, I believe, with the defensive score. 10 against the Jets, and now 10 against the Bills. Like, and you look at some of the other of these, 14 against the Bears, 17 against the Steelers, who have kind of fallen flat. Like, they have some big scoring games against, you know, that number's inflated. They put up 38 on Cleveland, who's not good. Put up 29 on Detroit, who's not good. 26 on the Colts, who aren't, like, it's... I know I just got ripped in the chat for it, but I'll say it again. I think the defense more or less, you know, they have some edges to round off, but the defense more or less is where a competitive defense should be. Right? The offense is just so far away at this point, and it doesn't feel like a talent issue. That's what really kills me, is that I thought the offense was competitive last year. I thought it was.
Right.
And they only got better. You know, we went through the transactions earlier in the show, but they're significantly worse. And that, I mean, it's just,
it's coaching.
It's just brutal. It's just brutal. Coaching. Yeah. It's coaching. It's coaching. It's coaching. Yeah.
At Doug, I liked what Doug Codd tried to do last night and tried to get Bill to say it.
Yeah. Shout out
and
to
that's,
Doug.
It's awesome. And yeah, that's going around the Twitter machine right now. But like, just the fact that he's like, you bring in, but you have the same guys. The offense was good. What changed? And Bill just goes, yeah, I don't know. Because he won't say it. And it's like, it's I don't know, man. It really is. It could go down as one of his worst coaching decisions, the fact that they have nothing around Mac Jones right now. A tough show, a sad show. The Patriots got nothing going. Do you have anything else before we wrap this thing up?
Probably, but we'll do it on Tuesday.
Yeah, we can do more on Tuesday.
Come on. I didn't get to bed till like 5 o'clock last night.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was gonna say I was more like 2 a.m. But no, it's tough. We're running on fumes here. But the Bills beat the Patriots last night, 24-10. Season-altering. What's up? What do you got?
No, I was going to finish up, and then I'll.
I was just going to say, season-altering could go as far as saying franchise-altering loss to the Bills last night. The reason I say that is because they just, it shows there's nothing. They don't have what it takes to compete, and they need to change something from the top
honestly,
down.
Like, but, all right, the Bills are 14 points better than the Patriots. Yeah, like, to me, season-altering is just you get beat bad, you know, late, you know. This season, and they have because it kind of kills their playoff chances, right?
Exactly, right. They're far down the playoff ladder now.
I don't know. Did we learn anything last night, or did that game just confirm what we already thought?
Well, I think after the Vikings game, you thought, okay, maybe they can turn a corner. Max healthy.
Okay.
They're pushing the ball downfield a little bit. Guys are, you know, they put up, 26 points last week? So,
yeah.
I mean, they were able to put the ball in the end zone, in the red zone, and it was like, okay, maybe there's something here. Let's now do it against a division rival. And I guess we learned that what we thought before last week was true.
So I guess my point is more so, like, you use, like, franchise-altering, right? I do think they had a franchise-altering loss this year. That was the Bears game, because that was like, that was unexpected. Like that, we don't need to relitigate that game in the quarterback situation. Like,
right.
To me, this game was just everything wrong with the Bears game showed up again. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can call this season altering. I think that's fair. The Bears loss is still the one. Like they're 14 points worse than the Bills. They were always 14 points worse than the Bills. Like I said at the top of the show, this game was decided back in April. Right.
Right.
It's when we go through and they make the changes that hopefully they're going to make this offseason, we're not going to point back at this game as the moment everything went wrong. It hurts, and it didn't go great in this game, but the Bears game's where it all went wrong.
Yeah.
This is just kind of it continuing to go in the direction it was already going, right? So
right, and it makes more sense that it happens against the Bills and the Bears. So
right, are the Patriots, are the Bills a better team than the Patriots? And like how many points was that game? That was a big, like a 19 point game. Are the Bears 19?
Right.
So the Bears beat the Patriots by 19 points. The Bills beat the Patriots by 14 points. Are the Bears 5 points better than the Bills?
Maybe.
I don't think.
No, of course not. Of course not.
And this is, look, this is how weird the NFL is this year. Obviously this is all sort of tongue in cheek, but like, I can't say last night pretty much played out exactly how I thought it was going to play out.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think it's franchise altering, because something has to change.
So we're doing semantics again.
Of course.
Which is when this show was at its best, going back when I was here. If you needed last night's game to tell you things needed to change, you didn't go into that.
Right.
You got like the Bears game is when I'm probably more patient than most. I didn't love the Matt Patricia idea, and I was certainly skeptical to start the season. The Bears game was my, like, point of no return. All right, this experiment's over. It's done. It's time to move on.
But there was still a chance.
Fine with it before that, but
there's still a chance that you're in playoff contention last night, though. So it's like,
okay.
If this can keep moving forward, now you're 7-5 last night. The offense looks better again. Maybe they're hitting their stride. Last night reconfirmed that, okay, playoffs are over, pretty much. You're 6-6, and you're fighting in a strong AFC East, and the offense can't score points against anyone. So that's my take on franchise altering. But again,
we're doing semantics.
Getting into semantics there. We'll do that a lot here on this show, but me and Alex will be back on Tuesday. We'll do a full Q&A show. We'll break this thing down a little bit further, but bring your questions in the chat next Tuesday, and then the following Thursday we'll break down, or we'll preview rather, Patriots versus Cardinals, because the Pats, like we said, have a mini bye sort of coming up. They play next Monday night in Arizona, so hopefully they can, you know, get their stuff back together. I don't see it happening. It's a train wreck, quite frankly, but it is what it is, I guess. Follow Alex on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. Follow myself on Twitter at Mike Cadlick.
You're doing a good wrap up, and I know you're trying to get better at the wrap up, so I don't want to cut in. But
go for it.
We do need a game pick for tonight.
Oh, USC.
Pac-12 championship. I thought you were picking USC. You got what's the number?
It's USC is a 3-point favorite against Utah.
You know what? I think USC is going to win.
Yeah. By one?
I think I'm going to take Utah to cover. Like,
let me look at it now.
I love this matchup for Utah because...
USC minus 2.5. Sorry to cut you. USC okay. minus 2.5.
I still think I'm going to take... Utah, like, they just have you, right? They're the one team that beat USC. And USC's probably more talented. Mm-hmm. But Utah is the exact kind of team that gives them fits. They're physical. They run the football. They're fundamentally sound. They're good tacklers. They can capitalize on you know, missed it. Like, especially, like, defensively, USC is, like, super aggressive and they're not very consistent, right?
Right.
Cam Rising's an experienced quarterback. You can't give him too many chances. So I still think USC wins. I think Caleb Williams has another, like, great moment late in the game and wins it. Like,
Heisman
I don't think they have enough to overcome Caleb Williams. But I think we get a game. I think this ends up being the best game of all conference championships.
Well, this is a playoff game for USC too. This is a quarterfinal game for them because they win, they get to the semis, they lose, and they're done. So they need to do everything they can. I think Lincoln Riley's going to get them up for that. He's an outstanding coach. He's now going to have his third Heisman winner. Baker, Kyler, and now Caleb Williams.
How'd those first two go in the NFL? But
no, I know.
No, I think he's different. I think he's different. Yeah.
I do. I would take Caleb Williams over Mac Jones right now, maybe. I don't know. But let's not do that. But yeah, no, I think USC, the line's minus 2.5. And again, they lost by one to Utah earlier in the season. It was on a Cam Rising 2-point conversion for the win. I think I like USC by the number. They have something going right now. I think they win by 3 or more. So that's our pick. We'll see how we do with picks here.
All right, we'll see.
Alex has Utah plus 2.5. I have
Utah plus 2.5, but USC to win.
Yeah, okay. So a tight one.
Yes.
Between a 1 or 2 point win. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens there. That's it for us, guys. Again, thanks for tuning in. Check out Alex's stuff on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can check out my stuff on CLNS Media. Again, Patriots lose to the Bills 24-10. In my opinion, a franchise-altering loss. But we'll see what happens down the stretch. But until next time.